WrestleSpective Radio is not affiliated with World Wrestling Entertainment, TNA Wrestling, Ring of Honor Wrestling, or any other sports entertainment entity or personality.
You're listening to WrestleSpective Radio. Learn to love it.
Hello, and welcome to WrestleSpective Radio at FairToFlare.com. This is Jason Mann, and with me today is Don Owens of Future Endeavors. Don, how you doing?
Doing great, Jason. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Today we are talking about the main event of SummerSlam 2003. It is an Elimination Chamber match, and it is Triple H, Goldberg, Chris Jericho, Shawn Michaels, Kevin Nash, and Randy Orton all battling for the World Heavyweight Championship, and you were there live.
I was. Amazing night, amazing memories. My very first live pay-per-view to attend. It was held in Phoenix, Arizona, and I love this pay-per-view. This SummerSlam, of course, probably stands out to me as one of the best SummerSlams ever. Getting to witness it live, I was on the floor right by the entrance ramp, and had great seats. I can see myself on camera several times during the show. And, you know, not only was it a great card and it was cool to see all these matches, but, you know, the Elimination Chamber main event was just great to see in its own right. You know, I mean, to get an opportunity to see an Elimination Chamber match live is just an amazing, you know, thing to see. I remember walking into the arena and just seeing that gigantic chamber just hanging from the ceiling. It really just blew my mind to see that up close and personal. You know, they had only done a couple chamber matches at this point, and so this was really, really unique. And you know, I was just so stoked. You know, I'm a huge Kevin Nash fan, so I was so happy to get to see him. You know, and Goldberg. You know, Goldberg was only in the WWE for a year, and to get an opportunity to see him wrestle live was also a really big standout for me too. So, you know, amazing stuff, and I cherish the 2003 SummerSlam very, very much.
Cool. Yeah, Kevin Nash very blonde at this point as well. Yeah, I think he had just – I think he dyed his hair like a couple weeks before because he lost the hair match to Jericho. And then he – so he had short blonde hair, which is very odd to see on Kevin Nash.
It was. But, you know, if you knew what was going on, you knew he was filming a role for the Punisher movie. Yep. And he was playing the Russian, and that was just how the Russian looked in the comic book. So it was really funny for them how they tied in the whole hair angle and then getting his hair cut. And, you know, and then, yeah, and then he came out with the very, very blonde spiked hair. He looked very odd that this SummerSlam. But another thing that stands out was just this was his last match in the WWE at this point. You know, this was the last time we had seen him until he came back at the Royal Rumble earlier this year. So this was something that stood out for me as well, you know, was that this was his final moment, and him being one of my favorite superstars of all time. I was very happy to get to be there for that.
Okay. I remember he lost a Raw match to Test, but that was before this?
Yeah, this SummerSlam match was the last match he had.
All right, yeah, didn't realize that. I knew it was during this time. I just didn't realize it was actually at SummerSlam. But he went off on a kind of a high note, actually. But we'll get into that. We start off with Jericho and Michaels kind of revisiting their rivalry that they'd had throughout the early part of 2003, including their classic WrestleMania 19 match. And they had pretty nice wrestling sequences, lots of roll-ups and backslides, sunset flip reversals. Jericho gets an old-fashioned thumb to the eye, which Michaels responds by slapping him hard, and we get our first Goldberg chant here. So then Jericho tries the walls, but Michaels is able to get an inside cradle. Jericho misses the lion salt, but gets a clothesline. And then we have Orton popping in, who really is not quite yet I wouldn't say he's quite yet popular or really isn't over at this point. I mean, he's obviously, you know, with Triple H and Evolution, but Evolution really, I don't think they really kicked into high gear until later in 03 and early in 04. I kind of like the Orton Foley feud was kind of really the point to which I kind of really thought of Orton as anything other than Triple H's lackey, you know. He showed some nice things here. He had a nice drop kick, clothesline Michaels onto the steel, and then, you know, kind of they do some three-way stuff for a while, and Jericho slams Orton onto the grate, and Jericho's able to get the walls on Michaels. And then Nash comes in pretty quickly. He goes after Jericho right away, lawn darts him into the cage, and then Nash hits the slide slam on Orton, and then we get Nash and Michaels fighting a little bit for old time's sake, which was kind of a cool thing to see. I'd kind of forgotten that their interaction in this match, but that doesn't last very long as Nash boots down Jericho, but then Michaels hits a super kick and Jericho rolls over for the pin. So we have Nash quickly being eliminated, but Nash does pretty much he power bombs Jericho, tosses Orton into Michaels, and then he power bombs Orton really hard, and then sort of leaves the ring to a pretty decent reaction for his last moment in WWE for eight years, I guess, 7.5 years, and so he even though he lost quickly, he was able to kind of get some thunder going out. And in the midst of all of that, Triple H was released from his pod, but Michaels super kicked him to sort of prevent him from really entering the match. So kind of a big flurry of stuff all together. This elimination chamber match, I believe, is a lot shorter than the other ones. So I don't know. Obviously, this was 8 years ago, 7.5 years ago. So, all right, I guess 8 years ago. So I don't know how much you remember, but did you feel like the crowd? I mean, it seems like here the crowd was really into Goldberg in particular. Did you feel like that was the case, or did you feel like they were kind of into the other guys too, or what was your sense of that?
I felt they were pretty over for most of these guys, honestly. But yeah, Goldberg, I can still remember getting an amazing reaction. Like I said, I mean, he was such an attraction to see at this point. You know, his run was so limited in WWE, so I mean, people were crazy to see him live. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing that stands out for me on this is that something you can't even see if you watch the DVD or you watch a replay now, but when he came out for the match, he used to always come out like kind of punching and kicking and everything. When he kicked, he actually slipped and he fell on his ass and everybody started busting up laughing, and he even smirked and kind of laughed about it. But that stands out so clear in my head, and I was just like, oh wow, that's such a funny moment, because he just slid and fell. But if you watch it on DVD now or you see a replay, it just cuts to the crowd when he's doing his entrance. So yeah. they totally edited that one out. But it's the funny thing with Goldberg there. But yeah, no, the crowd reaction was huge for him. So I can still hear the Goldberg chants in my head. So yeah. But they were pretty hot for Nash, and of course Shawn Michaels always. I mean, Triple H. I mean, everybody really got a pretty damn good reaction in this match. So yeah. It was a good lineup in there.
Yeah. Orton seemed like they were a little dead for him, but everyone else, yeah, I would say that's true. So. After Nash leaves, then Shawn tries to crawl onto Orton to get a two, and then he crawls on Jericho to get a two. All three of them go up and then trade punches, and then it's time for Goldberg, and he basically just lays waste to everyone. I mean, he hits a press slam into a spine buster on Orton. Michaels and Jericho even try to double team him a bit, and they get nailed for a double clothesline. Orton gets speared for the pin. Jericho is able to hit a missile dropkick for two, but then Goldberg press slams him into the cage. Michaels punches Goldberg, but then Shawn's sent into the corner upside down. Goldberg spears Jericho through the glass, which is really cool. And then HBK is able to hit an elbow off the top and tries to tune up the band, but then Jericho ducks the kick and spears him, finishes with a jackhammer, and then he spears Jericho and then finishes him with a jackhammer. So Michaels and Jericho all eliminated really quickly. And meanwhile, Triple H is still behind the glass, and Goldberg tries to force so that, or excuse me, Flair, who's at ringside, is trying to wedge his way in there so that Triple H is protected by the pod. And eventually Goldberg punches through and then punches Triple H and then kind of beats him down for a little bit. It goes a little bit back and forth, but he's slamming him into the steel, and it looks like it's going to be the big epic win. And then Goldberg sets up for the spear, but then Triple H gets the sledgehammer from Flair, sort of hides it, and then grazes Goldberg as he's going for the spear. Unfortunately, it was a pretty weak looking shot, and then Triple H kind of got the pin out of nowhere on that. And they do a pretty big epic beatdown though, with Batista and Flair come in, and they all kind of get their shots in at Goldberg. And Goldberg, if I recall correctly, was bleeding pretty good. And so it was a nice, the finish was a little flat, but I thought the angle afterward was pretty strong, and it set up the singles match for Goldberg and Triple H. Goldberg putting his career on the line and then eventually winning the title from Triple H and then holding it for a few months before losing it back to Triple H. So I don't know. It kind of felt like, people were really into Goldberg winning the title here, and then when he didn't, it kind of stifled him a little bit. But I thought it was pretty well done for what it was, and it was kind of it was definitely interesting, and it, in theory, delayed for the Money Singles match the next month. I don't know. What did you think about that whole deal?
What you forgot there was the amazing part of when when Triple H was coming in, Shawn Michaels super kicking him and knocking him out.
Oh, I did mention that, but maybe not. Maybe I didn't emphasize it enough. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, because that was such a big thing, was that he finally was like, okay, and his pod opens up, and, you're like, all right, Triple H is coming, and then Shawn just super kicks him and, basically knocks him out for 5 minutes of the match. Now, what a lot of people don't remember was Triple H was hurt during this match.
Oh, yeah.
So his in-ring time is very, very limited, so that was a way to kind of, keep him out for a minute. But
yeah, he had those I forget if he had them in this match, but he had
like the biker shorts. Yeah.
Biker shorts, which were really, really Yeah, Triple H, this was not his best in-ring year in 2003, and a lot of it was the injury, and he kind of bulked up earlier. I think it was 02 when he bulked up, but he definitely once he got healthy and lost a little bit of the weight, like more in 04 and 05, he was he had stronger opponents, frankly, throughout most of those years. So he was better in the ring, but 03 was not his best year as far as match quality goes.
No, it wasn't. And, yeah, I hated when he was wearing the biker shorts.
Yeah.
And then they start coming out with the black ones and the red ones and the purple ones and all that stuff. But yeah, so his time, that was my only downfall for this, was once again, I had Shawn Michaels, Kevin Nash, and Triple H, in there, three of my top favorite guys, So I was so stoked to see this match, and that was my disappointment. Disappointment in this match was how limited Triple H's time was, but I love that moment of the buzzer going, the spotlight shining on Triple H's pod, the glass slides open, and Shawn just super kicks him.
Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah.
It was just great. So he's just knocked out in his pod, and then, he finally gets back up to his feet, and then, like you said, it's like, it's down to just Goldberg and him, and he's just like, uh-uh, like, and Flair, has got his butt against the guardrail, and he's got his feet up on the cage holding the door shut so Goldberg can't open it, and then he just busts the glass in. And there were some other good spots too. I forget who he did it with, but Goldberg, I think it was Jericho, maybe, when he speared Jericho, I think, through one of the pods.
Yeah.
And just some really cool, powerful moments. Goldberg looking great. I remember Goldberg getting his calf like busted open in that match too. He was gushing blood.
Yeah.
At the end of that match, he got completely busted open. And But yeah, I mean, it was a great, great match. I loved, you know, like I hated Kevin Nash getting eliminated first. Obviously, if he was on his way out the company, I mean, it kind of makes sense why he'd be the first to go. But like you said, you know, I thought he went out on a bang, you know, because he did that, you know, that snap, and then he just started kind of jackknifing everybody, and he left looking very, very strong, and the crowd was definitely supporting him on that. You know, Shawn and Jericho always work well together. Like I said, getting that opportunity to see Goldberg live, I'm just so happy. I mean, for him only being there for a year, I mean, the chances of getting an opportunity, you know, to see him live in that time doesn't seem very likely. So, I mean, I'm just very glad that I probably got one of the only opportunities, you know, to see him perform live, because I never, you know, I was never really into WCW, and I never went to any kind of WCW event or anything like that. So this was my one and only opportunity to see him. And, you know, and of course, you know, it's always good to see Triple H. So, you know, Elimination Chamber-wise, this is one of my favorite Chamber matches. And overall, just, you know, like I said, one of my favorite all-time SummerSlams. And there were some other really good matches on this card, too. I mean, Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship is an amazing match. And it was also the co-main event here. And I thought that was great. And this was in the heat of the Kane and RVD feud, at, you know, when Kane, before Kane got unmasked. And, you know, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, Rhino, and Tajiri in a four-way for the U.S. title was another one that was really, really done well. And, of course, Shane McMahon, Eric Bischoff in a Falls Count Anywhere match was pretty cool to get to see Shane perform, too, because, you know, that's so limited in its own right as well. And he just kind of beat the crap out of Eric Bischoff there. So there was some really good side matches as well. And, of course, being headlined by an Elimination Chamber match was great. And you know, now that there's only one pay-per-view a year that gets Elimination Chambers, you know, I feel very lucky to have gotten to witness this one, you know, especially since it was the only time for Goldberg. It was the last one for Kevin Nash as well. So, you know, love it.
Yeah, good stuff. Interesting time for WWE. You know, they really, this was definitely kind of the transition time. They were kind of figuring out to do incorporating WCW guys and so forth. And we're kind of ready to move on to, you know, some of their, you know, it was, you know, the build up years for guys like Orton and Batista and Cena, you know, obviously their future main eventers. So, so interesting stuff. Yeah, it's a good match. It's definitely worth seeing. You know, it's, like I said, if you've the shortest of the Elimination Chambers, if you've never seen one, this is the easiest one to get through because it goes by. It's a 20-minute match, and usually they're, you know, closer to 35, 40 minutes. I mean, they're, you know, most of the Elimination Chambers, if not all of them, are pretty good, but this one's definitely a breezy, fun one, you know. Proof that Goldberg did, you know, certainly have some strong moments in WWE. This might have actually been his highlight, honestly, of his WWE. I guess he had that match with Brock that was good. He had some good ones with Jericho and so forth. But you know, this was as far as his peak, as far as, you know, crowd reaction and people really being into him and kind of the potential that he might have had that maybe he didn't quite, you know, didn't quite work out for whatever reason. This is definitely kind of a one of his highlights in his year in WWE for sure.
Yeah, no, I would totally agree with you. I think this was the strongest that he looked, you know, in that year that he was there. And, you know, it was, you know, good stuff. You know, I always hoped that Goldberg came back and had got another chance, got another run, you know, and it was looking like we were going to, you know, maybe get something a couple months back, but then that didn't go through. And, you know, we never know, I guess, never say never, but, you know, I think the boat has passed. But, you know, just, you know, glad at least we got, you know, a year of Goldberg in WWE. So at least we got something.
Yeah, exactly. I always enjoyed Goldberg. You know, I mean, yeah, I obviously, too. You know, he had his limitations and, you know, and he had his issues or whatever. But, yeah, I the character was cool. The, you know, what he did, he was limited, but he always, you know, he had some cool power looking moves. He definitely had a presence. And I think, you know, if he had come up in a different way and, you know, he might have even developed into being like a pretty good wrestler. But, you know, but what we got was pretty cool. And, you know, and maybe he's a guilty pleasure, but, you know, that's fine. That's perfectly okay. So, Don, thanks for reviewing this match with me. Always appreciate you being on the show. Everyone, we're going to keep continuing SummerSlam main events, countdown to SummerSlam up until the day of the show. So keep listening every day for checking out new shows, and check WrestleSpective.com and FairToFlare.com for all your wrestling needs. And thanks for listening, and we'll be back again soon.
Let's be honest. Most wrestling websites suck. BS rumors, schoolyard gossip, plagiarism. It's no wonder why no one believes anything they read on the internet. Well, if you can't get something done right, you might as well do it yourself. Presenting the Fair to Flare Quarterly from the writers of FairToFlare.com and over a dozen other wrestling websites. We're not copy and pasting what we read in some newsletter. This is 100% original content from the best wrestling bloggers on the internet. In-depth analysis of the art of pro wrestling, debate, artwork, and humor. The Fair to Flare Quarterly will raise the bar of what wrestling journalism can and should be. Professionally edited and produced, and every contributor will be paid for their work. Order your copy of the Fair to Flare Quarterly today at FairToFlare.com. The better wrestling media has arrived.